Anyways, as we're starting to have Mem Dalam Beis right now, I want to correct you. Mem Dalam Aleph, correct myself, I should say. We were talking about how there's no Zeich HaLemikdash for 7 days for the Arava. We asked why. We gave some answers as to why. The general consensus we had was there's no Doraisa level at all in the Gvulin, and therefore there's no reason to extend it 7 days Zeich HaLemikdash. However, Rashi points out we do have 1 day Zeich HaLemikdash. That's Hoshana Rabbah. He put our loaves over Tzaduk. When they kept on bringing him those branches, he would chav it. He would shake it. He would chav it. That was on the seventh day. That was in Hoshana Rabbah, and he lived at a time when it was after the Chorban already. It was after the time when they were doing this anymore. But we see that there was 1 day, and this is found in Rashi, in Mendal and Alter Maskil, Lo Avdinon La Shiva. It says, Aval Yom Echad Miha Avdinon. They did do a single day Zeich HaMikdash, which is our custom we have today for Hoshana Rabbah. It's a single day of Zeich HaMikdash, where we do have the Yom of the Hoshana, which is we call Hoshana Rabbah, the Yom of the Arava. And I just want to make sure we didn't forget that point. Even though we don't do 7 days worth, we still do a single day worth. Okay, Amar Ibo, bottom of Ben Zalem Beis, about 7 lines from the bottom. I think it's 7 lines. 8? Amar Ibo, Mishum Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, Al Yalech Adam B'Arvei Shabbosos, Yosher Megim Parsos. There's no connection here other than Ibo, again, is quoting his Rabbi, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, who he'd been quoting the entire Amar. So the, yeah.
You said earlier here... Rashi says Ibo is the father of Rav.
He's both. He's also named after, because there's a grandson of Rav.
Yeah.
Right, so I assume that he was named after, he's a great-grandson, his great-grandfather. He's done with the same name, kept in the family.
Say it again.
The name Ibo was both the father of Rav and the grandson of Rav, which I guess means that he was named after his own great-grandfather, which makes sense. We named after our own family members, right?
We named after them.
Living, right. So we Ashkenazim usually named after people who are no longer alive, but you even named after your own great-grandfather. Everyone's named is Ibo in every generation, in theory. Every other generation would be an Ibo, right?
Right.
Okay, anyways, says the Gemara as follows. Again, Amar Ibo, Mishum Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok. Al Yelech Adam Ba'arvei Shabbos, Yosef Megillah Parsos. A person should not go on Erev Shabbos. He should not walk a long distance. He should not walk more than 3 parsos. The reason being, Rashi explains, is that if you're not going to get back home until very close to Shabbos, they're not going to prepare for you Shabbos. They didn't think you were coming back. They're not going to prepare for your Shabbos meal. And therefore, when you get home, you get angry that they didn't prepare for your Shabbos. So you should make sure you stay around the house that they know that you're there on Erev Shabbos. Amar Rav Kahana lo Amar Ela B'Levese. Aval Yashpize Amai D'Nakit Samech. This only applies lo Amar Ela, double negative only. It only applies, we only say this din, when it comes back, going back to your house. You get angry when you go back to your own house and you see that something's ready because no one knew you were coming back before Shabbos. But lo Yashpize, but to go to be hosted, to go to an inn, to go somewhere else, someone to host you at their house, then you're allowed to go even more than Gil Parsos. And Amai D'Nakit Samech, on what? On that which you took in your hands, you rely on. Meaning you brought something for the road, and you rely on whatever you had in your hands. Whatever extra you get from your host is like icing on the cake. But you would have known you're going, you're traveling. You know you're not going to your own house. You know you better take some provisions for the road. Whatever you got, you know that ought to be enough for you. And therefore, whatever you get from your hosts will be an extra bonus, and you're allowed to go to a host and come back before Shabbos a little bit, but not to your own home. V'yigadam, to those who say the opposite. Amar Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana, the reverse diuk. Amar Kahana, lo nitzcha el afilu beise, even to your own home, where the food in the house really belongs to you. You can go into the fridge and open anything you want to. Even then we say you shouldn't come back too close to Shabbos. Kal v'chomer, when you go to a stranger's home, and who knows what he can offer you at all. And he even tells a story, Rav Kahana tells a story now. B'didiha v'uvda, with me one time this took place, this happened. He was at a guest's house. We arrived from before Shabbos. Afilu kasa d'harsin alo ashchi. Even a little cooked dish of fried fish, I couldn't find. Apparently, it was a very normal food to find, a very cheap normal food to find. He couldn't find anything. The pantries were bare. The fridge was bare. Rav Kahana went to a stranger's home before Shabbos and was unable to find anything to snack on. So the Gemara brings down again this psak of Ibo, name of Rabbi Tzadok, about a person making sure he stays close to the whole place he's going to be staying in for Shabbos before Shabbos begins, so people know he's there. They can provide for him. Is it dafka only to your house? We say this, but to someone's house you can go before Shabbos. Or we say in both of those cases, the machlokas is different to yourselves with Rav Kahana. But either way, a person should try to make sure that he's. Nowadays, it's not so difficult because you can just give someone a phone call, give someone a text that you're coming in. They should have you in mind. That would be enough. The concern we have here is that you're coming, you'd show up out of the blue at the last second, and no one was prepared for you. That was the big concern that we had. This is lulav. Kate said the Mishnah asks, "How do we do this? Lulav, how do we do? What do we do?" And we mentioned before, you put it al gabe itzba. We put all the, they place their lulavim there, al gabe itzba, and then later on, the next day they come, and the shamashim throw it out to them. So Tani, Tana, Kamed, Rav Nachman, one of the Tanaim taught in front of Rav Nachman, this Mishnah, but he said in a little different gear. So he said, Sodron al gag itzteba, not al gabe itzteba, but al gag, on the roof of the, where the benches were found. Meaning they were placed them on top of the roof of where all the benches were found. And the, right, exactly. It was open. It was able to get the entire, the blast of the heat of the sun. Amar lei v'chil yavshon hutzarech. Would they want it to be drying and baking outside? It gets dried up. We know lulav yavish is not kosher. They want it to become yavish in the end. Says Rashi, yavish is possible. Why would they place it in the way of the full sun by putting it on top of the roof? Ela'ema al gab ha'itzva. Rather, he correct. Rav Nachman corrected the Tana. He used to have Tanaim who were trained to kind of go from place to place and teach the Mishnayos. So he corrected his Tana and says it must not be al gag. You must have misheard it. Rather, it should be al gab, gav, like on top of the itzva, on top of the platforms at the benches, but not on top of the roof of that area. Amar Rechava, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Harabai, Stav, Kaful Haya, Stav Lifnei Mistav. And then we get into the topic as we describe the way that the Harabai was situated with the Istaba. It says it was situated with a Stav Kaful. Stav means same thing as Istaba. It was benches, double benches, benches within benches. It was like a stadium seating where you had rows, and around those rows you had other rows around it as well. That was the structure that we had of the Har HaBayis.
There's actually a perfect picture in the back.
Oh, yeah, I like to see that. What page is that?
Zion, page in Zion is the last page.
The last picture we got?
Two rows of benches and under like a roof.
So it wasn't the Gog, they didn't put on this Gog, but it was two rows of benches. It was the inner row and the outer row. Okay, excellent, great. Okay. Says the Mishnah, Mitzvah Zarava Ketzad. We mentioned before that Rava is Shish or Shiva, depending on how it falls out, but we didn't say yet how you did the mitzvah of the Rebbe. So, Makamaya Lamatim Yushalayim Nikram Motza. Still today exists as Motza, right? We drive by Yushalayim, we see, towards Yushalayim, we see Motza. So, there's a place in the on the bottom of Yushalayim area, of Yushalayim, it's called Motza. Yordin Lasham Mulakdin Misham Murbios Shel Arava. They would go down to Motza and they would collect from there branches of Arava, Uba and Mizok from the sun, Bitsidam Mizbech. And they would take them and they would stand them up by the side of the Mizbech, Roshem Kfufin Al Gap Mizbech, and the tops of them. Of these branches would then bend over, would lean over on top of the mizbech. Tiku v'ariu v'tiku, and in the part of the celebration, we'll get to see more in the fifth parak of the excitement of the blast. They would blow tkia, blow trua, and blow tkia to celebrate these exciting times. B'chol yom akiras the mizbech pam achas. We had this earlier on. We quoted part of this mishnah that every day they would circle the mizbech. Was it with lulav? Was it with an esrog? We mentioned some lulav or arava. Was it machlokas? We had in the gemara number of opinions. We passed the end. We felt it was the arava. They would take it around one time. Rabbi Yehuda says, it would say, Aniva ho Hoshiyana. Now, if you look over here in Rashi, it's a very lengthy description that Aniva ho is the same gematria as An Hashem, and he explains that there were certain psukim that they would use that had 72 letters in them, and each one of them, if you take apart the first set psukim, second set, third set, it would equal Shem Hashem, the 72 letters of Shem Hashem. How he did it, how this, you can read it in the Rashi, I don't really understand it completely myself how it worked out. But of these three psukim, 72 letters, which are the names of Hashem. What's that? That's what it sounds like. It sounds like that. The Mishim v'Shtayim Shemus that were found in these three set of psukim. And it, part of it also is how they get to Anivaho. He explains where the Ani comes, where the Ho comes. Anivaho, where those psukim come. Taking part of each pasuk, you would get those letters and the same gematria as Ana Hashem. Okay. Also a yom, but that day means the seventh day, the day we call today Hoshana Rabbah, Makifanas Mizbech, Shabbat Pameum, we would circle Mizbech seven times. Bishas Ptirasa and Maino, remember at the end, is, even though the Gears on the side takes out these words, we'll read them together anyways, when they would finish their avoda, what would they say? It was a Yofilach Mizbech, Yofilach Mizbech, beautiful to you is Mizbech, beautiful to you is Mizbech, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Lekha Ulecha Mizbech, to Hashem, and to you is Mizbech, to Hashem, and to you is Mizbech. Back to the Gersa we have now is back to this Mishnah, is part of the Mishnah of the Gersa. Like they did in the weekday, as we described, they did the same thing on Shabbos with one exception. I'll show you Malaktin Osan Me'erev. Obviously, they wouldn't collect it the morning of Shabbos, as we said, described in the Mishnah. They would collect it on Erev Shabbos. Umenichin Osan Me'gigi Oshal Zav, and they would place these branches of the Arava in these
golden barrels.
Today shall yachmushu in order that the again the thing they have it overnight detached in the ground. They don't want it to wither. It shouldn't wither. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer Chariol shall deklai mivina. Here's by the way to answer your question about chavita that we say it's really to bang. Here we have our first time that chovitin means to bang. That we have a Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says Chariol shall deklai mivina. They didn't bring a rabba. They brought branches of the palm tree. The chovet was on the kark, and they would bash them, they would bang them. Here's the word chavit, the chovet, they would bash them on the ground. I mentioned to Daniel, and I showed it to him the other day. If you look in the, again, at least the Ashkenazic Sidurim, there are ma quotes la lacha, psak lacha, that the custom was that we take our rav and we actually shake them. Some people have the custom of shaking them before they bang them. So we have both the chavata either means to shake, whereas we see in the Mishnah over here, it means to bang. And they would bang them on the side of the Mizbech, on the kark on the side of Mizbech. Vos vayom nikra chavut chorios. And that day we called it chavut chorios, and we have another Mishnah over here, we've quoted it elsewhere. Miad tinokos shomtinis leveim v'oklin esrogan. And then we say we take the, it's question, miad, does it mean from the hands of, or immediately, according to the Rashi, it means from the hands of the tinokos, we would then take the lulav, we would eat their esrog, and the Gemara later on will discuss how could you do that. How about the fact that it's iksil mitzvaso, that it was supposed to be the mitzvah. Rashi does point out here, it's not considered gezel. Even though you're taking it out of the hands of the child, it's not considered gezel, because it's b'tam darchei shalom, this was how they would celebrate the simcha of finishing the holiday sukkis, and for that reason, the katan, anybody that doesn't really own it completely, so it's not really gezel, it's b'tam darchei shalom, it's b'tam of a celebration, and therefore, it was okay.
I was a kid, though, I know that.
You might be upset about it. I guess when you get older, you take someone else's, esrog, get over it. But it's true. I don't know if they gave it a little announcement or proclamation in advance, but it is correct. It doesn't seem so nice. Just so you know, there are those toasts, I think, over here, explains it not to be that they were taken from the hands of the Tinokas, but the Tinokas miyad would immediately take it. They would take their own stuff. It wasn't that someone took it out of their hands, but they would take it immediately, miyad, like that. Not from the hands of, but miyad immediately. Okay. Says the Gemara, Tana makum klan yahava. This place, Motzah, says Rashi Kuzklana, means it was a place that was tax-free. It was a place that was ben chorin min amashal melech. No one who ever lived in this area was not taxed. This was like a public area that was like government-free. The Tana Didan, that's what this place was. This place called Motzah. Tana Didan, my time, Akar, the Motzah. Why did our Tana, the Mishnah, call this place, as we have it today again, the place called Motzah? Ari de mefak mi karga de malka, Akar, the Motzah. Since it was out from the karga's tax, it was exempt from the taxes of the king. It was called Motzah, like Yotze, like exception. It was exceptional. It was not part of the taxing of the king, and therefore they called it Motzah. That's where they would find these branches of the of the palm to use for the Aravas. Okay. Uban Zokvinusan Batida, etc. There's a little bit of a difficult, just not difficult, but it requires us to better understand how the Mizbech actually was structured. So we're going to give some of the dimensions right now. Hopefully they'll be clear to us as we finish up. Okay, says the Gemara. Again, we know that they were up. It was the bundles of Aravas were over, and it was kafuf. It was bent up over the Mizbech itself. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabos, according to the Gersa, we have Rabos taken out, but Ruchos v'gvos echarasar ama. That these branches were very long, and they were very tall, and they're at least 11 amos. They're 11 amos tall, at least. Kadeshu gochos al mizbeach. So they could be bending over the mizbeach. They would not even lean on the mizbeach. They would be bending over. They'd be up, and they would be coming down, back down onto the mizbeach, an ama. I mean, it had to jut up and even go down an ama's depth into the area of the mizbeach. So now the question was, where were these aravos placed? Meaning for them to be able to be 11 amos tall, to be able to go over, not to lean on, but to go over the Mizbech and still have a one ama depth into the Mizbech, draping down, where'd you place the ama? Because if you look at, do the math, we'll see right now the math, we'll do it right now for us. Amar Amemar Mishumar Zitra, Shma Mina Al Yesod Manachlu. We learn from the fact that it was 11 amos tall and it would still drape down an ama without dragging. It would drape down an ama into the depth of the Mizbech. It must be that it was placed on the Yesod. Now we're going to see how the dimensions work out right now.
As opposed to on the floor.
On the floor, exactly. As opposed to on the floor. Now, the way it worked was that the Gemara will say right now, okay. This is Aram Manachlu, if you thought that they actually were placed directly on the ground, Michthi, let us see. Allah Ama Vikanis Ama. The Zel Yesod. The Yesod was the very bottom. It was 32 Amos by 32 Amos. That's the width of it, the width and the length. And it was an ama high. Now, after the ama, you then put on top of that ama, they would fill it up with different things. Allah chamesh v'kanas ama, zehu soviv. The next part on the Yisod was called the soviv. It would be then...
Different things? What are you talking about?
What's that?
You said fill it up with different
things. Rashi over here points out that they would put in Sid, the Kunya, the Zephis. They would like say again? Yeah, like exactly materials to keep it, I guess, I don't know, steady or solid. But the Rashi over here explains that they would each of these areas it was placed and it was then solidified with these different tar and lime and other things that would keep it in place. Stones, according to this, the gears on the side. I think the Mizbeach, I'm not sure what the Mizbeach was made of. It says they would bring a square of 32 by 32 amos. They put it on the ground, and then they would fill that up with, was it hollow beforehand? It was a hollow square, and they filled it up with lime and plaster and rocks. That's what it sounds like. I don't know what the original material was. Maybe it was a frame of it. Could be. It was like I don't know if it's coated that, whatever it was. But this was the inside. It sounds like over here. So yeah, that was 32 by 32 amos. Then you had on top of that 30 by 30 amos, and if you put it in the middle, each side had an amma to get to the next part, meaning 30 by 30, 32 by 32. So you put it right in the middle, so one amma on each side and each dimension that it would kind of move inwards, and that was 5 amos tall. So now we're at 6 amos tall, and to get to the top of it, you'd have to have 6 amos high and an amma leaning in to get to the top of the actual of the soveh. But we're not done yet. Then Allah shalosh, 3 amos on top of that, zehu makom hakranos. That would be where they call it the kranos. And on top, just what Rashi put down here, on top of this the kranos, they actually had a single amma. The Gemara doesn't talk about it over here, but there was another amma. Where is it? No, an amma on the top of here. Each corner had the karen. Thank you. Had the karen on the each corner was the karen of the mizbeach. So again, and that was each an amma tall. Now we're not going to take that into account right now. At least that's not going to be factoring for our height. But you have the following dimensions: one single amma of a foundation called the yisod, moving in one amma in each direction. One amma, 5 ammas up right now was called the sovev. Moving in one amma again, you had 3 ammas tall. That was called the kranos. And then we had the single karen, the karen on each corner, that was also an amma tall. Now, if you do the math, what's that?
There's a great picture in the back that shows the whole thing.
Where is it?
It's Nun Zion is the page number, and it's Dalet.
Page Nun Zion, picture Dalet. Yes. Now you have that looks like a stone thing on top of it. That was one of the carrot, the carnota, I guess, even though I don't see, no, it's over here. It looks the same material. See right there, like on the corner there, is where you find that single amma that's on each corner. So you'd find this branch had to be 11 amos tall, but if you think about it, it had to be 9 amos just to get to the top if it was standing straight up, but it's not, it's leaning. So which takes some of the height away from leaning. And then it had to come up and back down again. It could never do that if it was on the ground itself. Because then it had to be 9 amos, taking into account also a slant, which we know takes up some of the length of it. And then it had to go up over and back down another amma. It would never be able to do that if it was the distance, if it was sitting on the ground itself. So we say, how would you ever find it to be jutting upwards and then draping over the mizbeach an amma? You can never find it that way. I mean, the math doesn't work out. It would have to have been flat completely, sitting straight up and then going back down without having any sort of a give diagonal. And we know that's not the case because each time you had a new level, it was going in an amma and in an amma. So that means it had to go 2 amos at least inwards besides the 9 amos on top. Now again, it's not like that. It's diagonal. But that means that you didn't have the full height of it anymore. And it still had to be up and down another amma, so it must have been, says the Gemara, Shmamina, Aisod Manachlu Shmamina.
The math is 5 plus 3.
Well, in the end, it's 5 plus 3, which was 8. Yeah. And then it had to be also, it was a little bit slanted, so that would take off. I don't do the math of what that means, but it had to be slanted in order to have reach from the side to get those 2 amos inwards. So it wasn't like directly straight up, it was that way. It had to go over, not dragging, over, and then dropping another amma down into it. So it would never make sense to do it if it was on the ground.
If it was 11, then then that wouldn't work?
You're right, 11 would not be able to do that.
Because then you would need 1 plus 5 plus 3.
Which would be 9, and it had to go up and down another amma, which wouldn't be there anymore, because you had, if only it was straight up, could we possibly have that? But it's not straight up, it's diagonal, so we had to go 1 amma up in order to be able to create that that dimension and this drooping for an additional amma. Low duck, lakula, low duck, lakula. Then, so that'd be the chumra. Okay. As for now, you saw manach lushma. I mean, what you say, you call proof positive that we seem to be must be it's on the yisod. I'm Rabbi Yavo, my crow. Where do we find a pasuk that suggests this type of draping over to the mizbeach? Where do you find such a thing? Shemar that says isru chag ba'avasim ad karnos hamizbeach, which we said today in our davening, right? We'll say tomorrow as well. So we have this very ironic that we do this in the Gemara today. But Yisrael Chag Ba'avasim means that the way Rashi explains over here, the Ilanus Chag Ba'avasim, Avasim refers to over here according to the Rashi over here, it means like the trees. And Yisru means to surround, to go around it. And Ad Karnos Mizbech means up until the Kranot, which are another Am above the Mizbech. So they had to be these trees, the Avasim refers to the trees. Yisru means it had to go surround, and up until these trees had to surround the Mizbech, even up to the cardinals, which is an extra amma high, so we say it had to go an amma's worth surrounding the Mizbech. Had to go up and back down again, additional amma. That's where they get this drasha from, based on this pasuk of Yisru Chabavasim. Again, Yisru would mean it had to surround it. Avosim referred to the tree, and the Karen was an extra amma tall above the Mizbech, so it had to surround, which means to go back down, to dip into the Mizbech, with the leaves, an extra amma's amount. That's how we got this drasha, that it had to be making that dip, and that it had to have been 11 amma's high. It must be only if they started from the yisod, would that actually, on top of the yisod, would that actually work. Rabbi Yavam, Rabbi Lazar. Called Notel Lulav Agudo Vahadas Ba'avuso Malav Kasav Ki'ilu Bana Mizbeach Vikri Lulav Korban. Whoever would take a lulav with its proper binding, and a hadas in its great thickness, and you mean all you do everything the kedasu kedin lulav and esrog, then the Torah treats it as if you have built a mizbeach and offered a korban on top of it. How do we know that? Shemar, it says isru chag ba'avasim akenos mizbeach. Isru according to Rashi means the aguda. Isru means to tie. Matir asurim, we say in the davening, Hashem unties the bound. So isru means to bind, which refers to the egged lulav. And ba'avasim we know is the hadas anaf eitz avos, and ad karnos refers to again that you're as if you're sprinkling blood on the karnos mizbeach, as if you're offering the korban on the karnos. So if isru chavosim, if you bind the holiday with the holiday of lulav and esrog and babosim with the hadasim in the proper thickness, then it's like you brought it to the karnos mizbeach, to the corner of the mizbeach, and you offer a korban itself. We'll do one more of these and then we'll stop. I'm Rabbi Yirmi Abishim Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Yochan Mishum Rabbi Shimon HaMechuzi, Mishum Rabbi Yochan HaMechuzi, Kola Osa Isur Lachag Ba'achila Vishtia. Whoever makes an isur l'chag, what does isur mean? It means literally means to bind. Whoever attaches himself to the chag, that's one means one of two things, says Rashi. Either it means that you attach yourself with achil of ishtia to the chag, or according to second years of Rashi, second, the Ish Omri Rashi, it means what we call isru chag. There's a source for isru chag. Why do we have a celebration of all of it? Why do we have the day after chag? We already had a chag. Why is isru chag? What's that?
Mimuna.
What's Mimuna?
Moroccan.
Oh, that's Moroccan. What it's called? I don't know.
You never heard of
Mimuna? No, I'm not holding about Mimuna.
Party,
okay, fine, good. So we have this Mimuna, where we call it the Isru Chag, where I'm from, but we say this idea that if you make an Isur L'Chag, if you attach to the Chag, meaning something extra to the Chag, when you attach with Achila V'Shtiyah, eating and drinking, then Ma'ala V'Kasav, again, the Torah considers it as if, or not Torah, but the Navi considers it, the Tehillim, as if you were offering a Korban to Hashem, Shnei Mars, it says, again, if you attach to the chag, the avosim, again, the isru chag, the avosim means, according to Rashi, it means animals, big, fat, thick animals. If you take these animals that are thick, and you attach them to isru chag, then it's like you brought a korban on the mizbech. We'll stop over here. We'll continue. Just say a quick ha'ara. Right now, tonight is Rosh Chodesh, and today's Aleph. Tonight's Aleph. And we've been trying to figure out ways to chazer extra here, extra there. So a thought that was had in the group and something to suggest was that if we start every Rosh Chodesh, at least until this could be the last one for us, at least for the time we have another Masechta we're doing besides Sukkah, we start every Rosh Chodesh, and we try to do on the first day, Daf Beis, etc. So in 55 days from now, we would make it see him another time, each one of us individually, just do a Daf a day. If we do this well, we know it already pretty well, take us maybe 20 minutes, maybe maximum 20 minutes to go through a Daf, if we know really well. If we don't, take it a little longer, but if we know well, 20 minutes, 20 minutes a day, start from Daf Beis. Today is the first day of ER right now, so every day of ER, one day, one daf, we'll be able to. What's that?
Tonight,
meaning.
So
yeah.
Daf Yomi from the beginning of the
every of the month. Yeah, the month when the month begins. At least now, when we get to Sota, which by the next probably be Sota, so we'll maybe do something a little differently. But at least for now.
Are we doing Sota now?
It sounds like that's what the Reuben suggests.
Does Sota have pictures in the back? That's what I think. I want the Gemara.
I will say one more thing about Reuben's suggests. Just one last Sahara. Rabbi Newman said something very important I wanted to pass on. I'm sure you'll speak to it yourselves. I'm sure you'll want to share it with yourselves. But he said to me that the muscle I'll give you is not Rabbi Newman's muscle, it's all my muscle I'll give you. But like you have a child, let's say, who's not living with you. So you don't see him as often, but you certainly every day maybe you'd want to give a shalom lech with him and speak to him a little bit. So, you know, Sukkah is our at least is my B'ni B'chori Yisrael, it's our firstborn. You know, really doing the way that we have done this now. No one, I don't think, we ever done a Masechta like we have in Masechta Sukkah. It's our B'nei B'chori Yisrael. It's not going to be with us every day because like a child who's home because we're going to be moving on to different Masechta. But 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, Rabbi Newman says. You have to do 10 minutes a day just to kind of remind yourself about Sukkah every day after davening, before davening, around davening. If you get to 10, it's just 5. But to commit to really staying in, just continuously reading it 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, learning a little bit every day. You know, he was insistent that we continue to make sure that we do that with Sukkah, even when we do next Masechta. That should be on our minds always. I'll tell you a quick... Well, quick Ha'ara, just one thing I'll tell you one time, and then I'll stop over this.
Do you want to just ask, what does anyone want to eat tomorrow night? Like, is
anyone going to ask? I will see him.
You want some meat?
Okay.
Rosh Chodesh.
Not anymore, won't be Rosh Chodesh. Won't be Rosh Chodesh. Isru Chag Rosh Chodesh.
That's the...
Medium well? How do you like medium well?
Not medium.